Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In today's episode, we're going to talk about buying properties off market. Yes, it's a definite possibility, and even more so right now as the market turns from a seller's market to a buyer's market. So exciting times for property lovers who are wanting to buy. What has signaled the change? No one knows precisely, and it's no one thing, but market sentiment and consumer behavior changes all the time. Markets are driven by greed, hope, ignorance, and fear, they say. So human emotions, or as Lord Maynard Keynes called it, our animal spirits. So something has shifted in the market more recently in 2022, where it has gone from a seller's market, a very tight market where sellers hold all the cards and could demand the ultimate price and could sit tight because they had so many buyers lining up wanting a property, and they could just hold out for the best price. But the metrics have changed ever so slightly, and that's how markets first turn. So when a market changes, it goes from, for example, in 2020, it picked up. So people thought, wow, sellers are doing really well. I might sell my property. And sellers started piling in, but we were navigating such uncertain times that it's only really now that it's hit critical mass, where there's a lot more sellers than there are buyers. So things are starting to adjust. People have seen the price rises. Sellers are wanting to get out in what they think is the top of the market. And there are now potentially more sellers than buyers. And that's what you want to get in at on a market when it is just peaking or turning. So what has happened is that buyers now may be a little bit more fearful. And as Warren Buffett said, the secret to his success was to be greedy when others were fearful and fearful when others were greedy. So at the moment, people are a little more fearful, and that's time for you to get a little more greedy. And what that can mean is there's real opportunity off market, because what's happening is that sellers are saying, well, I don't know, the buyers mightn't be there, I'll just wait and see. People in times of doubt and uncertainty tend to just sit on the fence. So what we're seeing now is a lot of global uncertainty. Interest rates set to rise, inflationary issues, energy crises and wars and global situations escalating. So that means that people will tend to do nothing, and consumer sentiment has pretty much plateaued because of that. So a lot of sellers who may have been ready to take the plunge have decided to wait it out. But what if you went to them? What if you could use tools like RP Data to really search the market? RP Data is a very powerful tool that will enable you to have insight into the market like never before. It's what real estate agents use, what banks use, what valuers use. And what that sort of information and software can tell you is a whole lot of deep data at a granular level about any property or area that may be of interest to you. And from there, you can send letters to secure properties off market. But even if you don't have RP Data, data, you can pound the pavement, and I'm sure you may even know in your local area, of properties that you've looked at that look unloved or that you've thought you could add a lot of value to or that you just want to be able to buy. I know there was one property once that I thought if this ever came on the market, I would be the first person to buy it. And it did, but it took a few years. So in a market like this, you don't have to wait for a seller to put up a sign and engage an agent. You can do a letter drop. And with thousands of students strong in our community, we know that there are a lot of people securing off-market deals at the moment from writing letters. So what do you put in a letter? Well, first of all, it shouldn't address the homeowner by name. Even if you know the homeowner's name because you've looked at RP data or you've done a title search, it might creep them out a little bit. What you want to do is you want to say, I'm interested in this property, and just address it to the homeowner. Personally, I have sold a property from a letter that I received because it was addressed to the homeowner, but it said, really love this street, really love your house. If you're interested in selling, we're a family, we want to buy in the area. And that appealed to me. So letters are going to be integral in a market like this. And given that the deal of the decade comes along once a week on market, can you imagine the rich spoils that are awaiting off market if you're a bit more proactive and do a letter drop? So just address it to the homeowner, handwrite the envelope. Handwriting letters can be a bit of a big ask, and we have students who send out hundreds of letters a week, but handwriting an envelope may give you a bit of repetitive strain injury, but your letter is more likely to be opened. If you're doing a mailbox drop where you're walking and just dropping it in their mailbox or under their door, that's fine. But if you're actually posting them, get an old-fashioned stamp that you've leaked yourself rather than a machine that stamps or franks the cost of a postage stamp onto the letter. Just more personalized, and it piques people's interest. They're thinking, are you open a letter that's handwritten with a stamp? Because it's so rare these days. It might be an invitation or something that you want to read. In any event, it's more personal and it's more direct in a digital world. It's just unusual and people would tend to open it. In the actual letter itself, there's no secret sauce. And as we said, we've got hundreds of letters sent by students every day. And if there was a recipe that was refined that I could give you, I would. But it's really a case of test and measure. It shouldn't be a big war and peace novel. It should just be a few paragraphs. So short, sharp, and shiny, our most successful students say. It should cover the fact that you're looking to buy. It can say a bit about why this particular property. Maybe it's something that you want to add value to. Maybe it's that you just really love the neighborhood and the area. And keep it simple. When I say simple, something that an 8-year-old would understand. And there is no perfect letter. The perfect letter is the one you actually send. That's all you have to do is get it out there. Put your feelers out and deals will start to come to you. It's about you taking some action and being proactive instead of lacking the control of just turning up and bidding at auction and hoping that you'll prevail. This is one where it's off market. There's going to be fewer competitors and you're doing the homeowner a favor. And you can actually list those benefits in the letter. What's the favor? Well, they're saving. Look at it from their point of view, because everyone wants to know what's in it for me. They're saving on an agent's commission. They're not having the hassle of having to get a property ready for market, so to prepare it and style it and fix it up. They're not having to pay for a marketing campaign, so photos and all those things, plus the inconvenience of having to open your home every Saturday and midweek for open for inspections and have it all clean and tidy while you're trying to live there for an unknown period of time as a seller, because you don't know when and how it's going to sell. So it's saving them a lot of time and effort, and it's also getting you in control of your acquisition and your purchasing strategy, where you can handpick the properties that you want. We are passionate here at the DG Institute about helping people launch and progress along their property journey. And we have some free resources to really help you do that. First of all, we have our Real Estate Rescue Introductory Program, which is all about getting you up and running when it comes to buying under-market distressed properties from really motivated sellers. You can get access to that program for free right now by going to www.dginstitute.com.au/freecourse1. That's www.dginstitute.com.au/freecourse and then the number one. We'll also leave links to these useful resources in the notes section. And for any other questions you might have around property and actually for all of your property needs, please visit our website at dginstitute.com.au because we are here to support you on your property journey and give you a real competitive advantage. And when I say it's a rising tide in a market like this one that's just turning from a seller's market to more of a buyer's market, I'm not just saying that because I feel it in my waters or anything. I'm saying it because it's what we're seeing at the coalface with our students doing deals. So it'll mean more to you if I give you a few examples. One of our students recently, Cameron, did a deal in Greensboro, so a suburb of Melbourne. He just dropped a letter off to a site that he thought would be interesting and that he thought he could renovate and add value to and flip the property. Interesting thing about this was that Cameron has been doing this a while. He sent this letter middle of 2021, so a very long time ago, and he forgot about it. The phone didn't ring and he just thought the owner wasn't interested, so he moved on. But the owner rang him some 8 months after the fact and said, yes, they were interested in selling now. Why was that the case? Well, they had financial difficulties during COVID. They'd hoped to recover. Their loan and their loan repayments had been deferred, but now the bank was making a move and they were demanding payment and they were looking to repossess the property. And this particular homeowner loved the fact that Cameron was ready to move. He could do something immediately to help him, and it would help the homeowner preserve as much equity in the property as possible. Because if the homeowner did nothing and the bank repossessed and the sheriff sold the property, all of the fees and charges and red tape involved in that would eat up anything that the homeowner had left in the property. So what happened in this situation was that Cameron said, well, I'm only going to sell it anyway, and whether the bank sells it or you sell it or I sell it, it's going to be sold. So how about we do a joint venture? I'll help you. I'll pay out the arrears to the bank just to buy us some time, and you bring the house to the table and I will bring the renovation to the table. We'll add value to this house and then we'll profit share. And it was a relatively new house. It had actually burnt down the year before. Insurance had built it again and replaced it, but it had just been a young family living there and they hadn't really looked after it. So it needs a bit of work, more on the outside and some money spent on the inside that Cameron's doing. So his numbers were that there was $120,000 owing to the bank on a mortgage. Cameron's going to put in his sweat and his effort, as well as the costs of renovation of $40,000. Then they have to cover the cost to sell the property, which is about $35,000. But the property will sell for $1 million or more in this market. So the bank will get paid. They've already got paid their arrears by Cameron, but they'll get $380,000 still owing on the loan. And then there'll be other costs, of course, apart from the renovation costs, but conveyancing fees and legal documents drawn up. After that, there's $100,000 going to Cameron, and the homeowner's going to get $100,000. So a nice profit share for both of them, where they both get six figures by working together. And that all came from one letter sent a very long time ago. But that's just an indicator of how the market has moved. And Cameron's actually in this business with his daughter doing property. So his daughter, they split the labour. She writes all the letters, and then Cameron does the work and adds value and flips the property. Another deal was one that some of our students, David and Simon, did during COVID and lockdowns and Omicrons and the peak of a virus and a pandemic. But this was in the Blue Mountains, and this deal was actually done while they were walking their dog. So they built it into their lifestyle, their letter drop. So they walked the neighbourhoods of the Blue Mountains, they knew the area, and they saw a pretty rundown property. While they were walking their dogs, they dropped a letter in the mailbox, and the homeowner actually ended up ringing them. And what was interesting was they knew the homeowner from dog walking, so their dogs knew each other. And with this deal, David and Simon bought the property. It was kind of half renovated. It was an investment property for the homeowner. They had gutted it, but it hadn't really pulled it together and got over the renovation and decided to just sell as it was to Simon and David, which was perfect for them. So they paid $800,000 for it. The renovation has cost them $60,000, and they bought this property, so there was stamp duty of $30,000. There was interest to the bank while they held it of $7,000. And of course, agents' fees and advertising and staging to sell it comes to about $30,000, and then conveyancing legal costs of about $2,000. But the property, after the renovation, was $800,000 before what they bought it at, projected to sell for over $1 million. So there's about $65,000 in that property for David and Simon, but they liked it so much that this is now their home. They've moved into it, they're keeping it, but the uplift in the value and the instant equity they got from buying off-market through a letter meant that they can now refinance and buy something else on their property journey. What was in it for the seller who answered the letter was they had a half renovated house. They couldn't sell it on market. They didn't have the time or the energy or the bandwidth to finish the renovation to get it ready for market. Construction costs had gone up during COVID, and it was just an exercise in futility for them. So Simon and David really helped them out of a corner there. One final one to have a look at was one of our students, David, did this deal at George's Hall. So he saw that the property was red brick, kind of 60s. He knew that it was right for a renovation. He sent a letter to the homeowner who did agree to sell to him. It turned out it was actually a deceased estate. And what happened was the family weren't that interested in putting it on the market. They'd have to clean it up. They lived interstate, so it was a big deal for them to have to appoint an agent, pay a commission, go through the whole process that you have to go through to get probate, the legal process when someone dies to get the house into someone else's name, and then be faced with an uncertain market after that. So to be selling it as beneficiaries, inheriting under a will, in 6 or 8 months' time meant that they didn't know what the market would be doing. They would rather have a bird in the hand now and sell to David off market, locking in that price, securing the certainty for them. And given that there were several children under this will as beneficiaries, it didn't make that much difference because everything had to be divided amongst them. And to lock in a price now gave them certainty. The other thing was that David took the property as it was. He bought it well below market, but he saved the family the time and effort of having to clean it out, get skip bins, travel interstate. So he took the load off their mind that way. And now it's all sorted. And David bought that property for $950,000 from a letter. Worth about $1.15 million. That's how the bank valued it at the time of David's purchase. Had to pay stamp duty on that of nearly $40,000. The renovation's going to cost him about $90,000, so a bit of work to be done there. And then he has to pay finance costs, holding costs, advertising fees, agent's commission when he sells it, as well as his legal and conveyancing costs. He should sell it for about $1.3 million, which again gives him a nice six-figure profit of $101,000. And all that from just a well-timed letter. So, letters are the way to go in a buyer's market because sellers can't be that certain anymore that if they list with an agent, if they go through all the rigmarole and hassle of having to sell on market, that the buyers will all be there and that they'll get the price that they want. In times of uncertainty, it becomes a buyer's market, and buyers are able to really help sellers and cut out the middleman by buying off market, saving them commission, time, effort, and money, and a win-win for everyone. So really working at the moment, and that's what we love here at Property Lovers, to see what the trends are in the market, to see what's working at the coalface, and to give you a heads up so that you can jump on it. If you've been waiting for the right time to get in the market, then now is it. The smart money gets in at the time that the market turns, which is now. As Warren Buffett said, and I couldn't put it better myself, it's time to be greedy because others right now are fearful. If you're enjoying this podcast, we want to invite you to join the Property Lovers Facebook group. To find the group in Facebook, just search for Property Lovers. You'll see the group banner, which has the word Property Lovers Hub on it. It's a community for property lovers in Australia, and just like this podcast, it's been created to give you a competitive advantage so you can get superior results in property. Please come and join us today. And for any other information and all your property needs, please visit our website, dginstitute.com.au, because we've got a lot of other giveaways that can support you on your property journey. Things like negotiation, mental toughness. We've got a lot of mini courses there that can get you in the right space to hit the ground running when it comes to property acquisitions. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.